Hello and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 61 for January 20th, 2010.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a website we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and the culture surrounding them. This week, we were browsing the Game Set Watch columns, and we found one from a couple weeks ago, and it was an opinion piece written by Jeff Fleming. It was entitled The Last Days of the Japanese RPG?
Question mark?
And then he does a quick recap and makes an argument that in a few different senses, there's been a decline of Japanese RPGs, and he kind of gives a little state of the genre and then ends on some thoughts about where the RPG in general might be going. And since we just talked about role-playing games last week, we thought this was kind of a neat segue into this story as well, because to start it off, I mean, I first was introduced to role-playing games by JRPGs. Like, I never did any, like, D&D or any of the Western RPGs. And so the first time I ever even encountered the term was with a Japanese RPG. So I think it's cool to think about it that way.
Well, first, why don't we talk about what we consider to be RPGs and a little bit what Jeff defines an RPG as. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really go too in-depth about what an RPG is, and he mentions a lot of different titles that...
It's kind of like kitchen sink style here.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that he mentions that I don't necessarily consider mm-hmm. an RPG. Mm-hmm. He mentions Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Zelda Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. He mentions Shenmue. Mm-hmm. He also mentions the classic Shin Megami Tensei and mm-hmm. Final Fantasies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of variety within his JRPG moniker.
Yeah.
The words that he uses in particular to define a JRPG are ones that contain a linear narrative, they have a turn-based combat, and have an anime style.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I think, when I first think of an RPG that he also leaves out, one would be role-playing itself. Mm. I think there needs to be, you know, a set of complex characters in which you are supposed to feel for them and act as them and engage in that larger narrative. There are stats, mm-hmm. upgradable stats, and there's loot. Three aspects of RPGs that I think he didn't mention but are fundamental to my definition of what an RPG is.
What an RPG or JRPG.
A JRPG is, yeah.
Hmm. I always feel that loot is more of a Western RPG thing.
Really?
Yeah. Like, okay, when you think of fat loot drops, you're talking about something like WoW or Diablo or something like that.
So, I mean, maybe the fat loots is the incorrect term.
Maybe the pH fat loots. Yeah.
Upgradable weapons is something. You know, in classic games, classic JRPGs, some of the most memorable quests I engaged on was finding the ultimate weapon in the game, finding the best materia or the best magic.
Yeah.
You know, some form That's of upgradable point. Items that are separate from the character's abilities.
Mm-hmm. And that you wouldn't be able to get without that specific item.
Exactly.
You know, you wouldn't be able to level up to Knights of the Round. You'd have to actually go find it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this wide net about JRPGs. I mean, I wouldn't consider Wind Waker a JRPG, maybe in the very most remote sense that it's from Japan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an action-adventure game. You're there traipsing around things in real time. And Shenmue's also kind of a weird choice, I think. I mean, Shenmue's just a weird game overall. I mean, like, you know, the granddaddy of the QuickTime event, I guess.
He also puts in Little King Story, which is kind of an RTS.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a wide net. It got me kind of confused when I was reading it. Like, what did I actually consider a JRPG? And I thought about, like you, some of the things that I always considered the hallmarks. And turn-based strategy, I think... I mean, not turn-based strategy games,
turn-based
but combat. Your tactics are turn-based. You stand in lines and you trade off attacks. That's one. I think that the anime style is something that I really agree with. Another thing that he says is that JRPGs are distinct because of their unabashed sentimentality. And I think I always consider the kind of melodrama that happens within a game, like a Final Fantasy game, to be...
Oh, there's a lot of angst.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It is. It's true. Like, this is a genre about angst. Sometimes it's done well, sometimes it's done not so well, but it's always about like coming of age and rebelling against or maybe not even rebelling, but trying to find a place. This young character trying to find a place in a world that is confusing or corrupt or something like that.
I think it would also include, and I didn't mention it, but party dynamics.
Mm. Mm.
I don't think that a game that even is an RPG, but with just one character playable.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, so now that, I guess we kind of have defined the JRPG a little bit more distinctly. What do you make of his argument that we're facing a decline of the JRPG? Do you feel like on your day-to-day gaming browsing business, you interact with these things less?
Yeah, I do. I think there are a couple of comments to his post that are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One kind of mentions that it could just be a bad year, that this 2009 would be a bad vintage for RPGs, which is, you know, I believe that. I can buy that argument, particularly thinking about how Japanese developers are dealing with the new console generation and dealing with how they're going to not only make games that are on par with some of the high quality games that the Western developers are pumping out, but also incorporating some of those new changes in game design. And I think that when someone talks about JRPGs being stagnant, that's legitimate. I don't see many games coming out of Japan in the RPGs genre that catch my eye the way they used to catch my eye. But, you know, a lot of the early games I played were JRPGs.
But do you and that's same here, like, but I'm trying to reconcile whether that's just a function of me, because it doesn't feel like there's that huge of a difference between some of the early Final Fantasies and Final Fantasy 7 or 8, for example. I mean, they still work in the same basic way. So do you think this is just a function of being fatigued? Like, they're not changing, but they've never really changed. The JRPG has always been very similar to what it is today. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like, for some reason, I don't play them anymore. And I can't decide why, because I don't feel like they've really changed that much.
Yeah, they haven't changed that much, but other things haven't changed along with them, I don't think. You know, when we look at Western RPGs, they tend to be very different than Japanese RPGs. They often involve player choice. They often tend to be far more adult in their themes and their art styles. And there are certain characteristics that are more appealing to me now as a gamer than they may have been to me as a younger gamer. And Mr. Fleming, Jeff mentions this in his article, saying that, you know, part of this might be we are maturing out of JRPGs.
Yeah, the audience that cut their teeth on Final Fantasy II, they're now in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and those types of, you know, the types of themes that you might find in, what's the Disney Square RPG?
Oh, Kingdom
Hearts? Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. The themes that you might find in Kingdom Hearts are not as appealing to an older person as they might be to someone who's, you know, just starting to try to figure out what adulthood is like.
Right, and that's more of an aesthetic and narrative argument about why we don't play them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's something to say for the mechanics as well, that we have grown tired to some extent of those same mechanics not changing very much over time.
Interesting.
I mean, like you said, Final Fantasy IV is not all that different from Final Fantasy VII, from 10, and 10 from 12.
Yeah.
There are little touches, and, you know, visually it's much 12 improved. 12
seemed like a big departure.
Yeah, they had the Gambit system. And
well, it seemed like it was more of like a, almost like a MMO-type combat setup, like real-time fighting, rather than the, you know, turn-based in lines.
Yeah, but there's still not that level of movement that one would expect from a Western RPG that is very much in real-time.
Okay.
No, like, how I play Dragon Age on the console, very different than how I would play Final Fantasy XII on the console.
Got it. I really do enjoy the dynamics of a JRPG. For me, the reason why I stopped playing them has really been, you know, one of the reasons that Jeff brings up, the stories are not great. They're overblown, overwrought, poorly paced.
They're operatic, yeah.
Yeah, and like the last JRPG I played was Final Fantasy X, and I stopped playing it because I couldn't stand the voice acting in the story. I thought it was like the most inane stuff I had ever played, and I was like, all right, I can't do this anymore. Like, and I actually liked that game. Like, I liked the, what's it called, the sphere grid or something, like how you update, like it was like a board game.
Like, I like that
you
grid.
Traveled along the grid to upgrade your abilities along different paths, and I thought that was really cool. because it allowed for some overlap between like a mage and a fighter, but it made the metaphor of branching ability trees a much more solid thing because you actually saw the paths and how they interacted. I loved it. I also like the turn-based stuff. I think it's, I like kind of playing in that strategic way. I just could not abide the dressing of the game.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I've stayed away since, basically. I mean, I don't really know what they could do to draw me back in.
Do you think that it wasn't adult enough, or do you think that it was just poorly told? Because I think Jeff mentions that we're maturing out of it content-wise. We just no longer find the anime style appealing. We no longer find these very young characters who are experiencing, you know, first love and yada, yada, yada as something that is as compelling.
That might be part of it. I think for me, it's an even more shallow thing. I just think the voice acting is really bad. Yeah. Like, bad to the point where I was embarrassed to play it in front of Hana because I could not knowingly subject someone to this. And the localization wasn't that great. You'd have, like, weird gaps in between people's sentences that didn't sound like a conversation. I mean, it was just not... I would have rather read it all in text, like I used to do when I was a kid. I never had to worry about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I could assign voices to what I thought were voices. Like, one of the things that I was interested to hear you say is that, like, the role-playing aspect of it, I never really felt that involved in. I always felt like I was kind of looking at characters deal with certain situations in which I didn't have much agency in.
Yeah, I agree, but I suppose maybe role-playing is a poor choice, especially in comparison to how Western RPGs make role-playing an active...
Yeah, it's much more like a D&D,
Yeah, you actually can influence the role that they play in the game. Like, these characters are changed because of you.
But Squall's always going to be Squall, no matter what.
Right, but I like Squall. Yeah. I like those overblown characters, and I like how big the world is. And I think that's one of the really valuable things about expansive RPGs is how much world they can fill out. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't experience it all, it's there in the background, and I enjoy knowing that.
Well, maybe that's another reason why, going back to the maybe we're aging out of JRPGs, I mean, do you have 60 hours to commit to this world?
And if this is a point that I agree with Jeff Fleming in this case, I don't have that amount of time anymore. And if it's not a story that's going to be instantly gripping, because in all honesty, a lot of JRPGs don't tell their story very well. They're not well-paced. They take an incredibly long time to introduce someone to the story.
Yeah.
They're really kind of obscure in terms of how people have certain relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, like Jeff mentions, other games are getting better at telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
The story in ODST, for example, is more compelling and instantly compelling than a JRPG, and still implies that there's a greater world out there.
And it's not like we would hold ODST up as like the paragon of gaming stories. But like even a middling type of story seems more convincing than what a JRPG of yore would.
Yeah, it just feels like back in the day, JRPGs were the genre that I went to when I wanted a long, compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer are the only providers of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but even so, do we really think that the genre has declined to the point where possibly Jeff is implying here? I mean, I'm not sure. It might have changed. Like, we don't have... It might not be as much of an event every time a JRPG comes out. But, I mean, even with his own examples, like the Nintendo DS, I don't think it's necessarily bad that a bunch of JRPGs are coming out on the DS. I don't think it's necessarily a loss of stature.
I do. I don't know. I kind of agree with Jeff in this case.
That you think it's a loss of, I don't know, what, impact or something?
Yeah, I mean, because like I said, world building and those visuals, the breadth of story that JRPGs provide are a little bit limited when they are confined within the DS.
In a modern sense, right?
In a modern sense, yeah.
Because, I mean, they remade some of my favorite JRPGs they've remade for the DS, which is one of the things that may be contributing to the decline in popularity. They're kind of, the JRPG is backward looking. Like, they keep remaking these classics and having people relive their fond memories rather than make new ones.
And
Chrono Trigger's okay on the DS.
That's true, yeah. I completely agree. Yeah. But at the same time, if another genre were, we were finding that it was no longer being viable on the console and therefore only being sold on the DS, we would be concerned. I mean, if shooters were only available on the handheld, we would see that as a sign of a declining genre.
But what does it say? Like, let's just flip it. There's no shooters on the handheld. They only live on the console.
Well, maybe that's a bad example. I mean, there are control limitations in the DS.
But I mean, there are certain things that there are certain types of games that I think go well on specific platforms. I mean, there's more DSs out there than anything, right? Except for PS2s, I guess.
Sure, but I mean, what about the big budget visuals? You know, something that is appealing, especially when you're trying to make a world seem expansive and real.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Losing something you can't really to the handheld. Completely. You can't do anything. Even on the PSP, you can't really do anything that even approaches something like, you know, I don't know, Final Fantasy 13 purports to be. Well, are you then excited for any upcoming possible JRPGs besides Final Fantasy 13? Like, I'm so far out of the game, I don't know anything except Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not so excited about Final Fantasy 13.
I'm very excited about Final Fantasy 13.
The voice acting, man, the voice acting. Like, could you really spend 50 hours with those characters? It's hard.
I mean, I listened to the English dubbing. I don't think it was that bad.
It wasn't as bad as 10. I mean, of course, nothing could be.
You could probably play it in Japanese and just subtitle it.
You could not do that with 10.
Well, but I'm hoping we've learned our lesson.
Maybe. Well, the royal we might have
learned. Me, you, and God. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
But, I mean, sometimes Japanese companies are, you know, set in their ways and with certain things.
That's exactly the problem, right? When we talk about the genre, it's not that the JRPG has changed, therefore we just don't recognize it as much. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the major problems, you know? Lost Odyssey, for example, came out relatively, I think it came out last year, sold really well in the United States, not as well in Japan. And its story was adult. It had mature themes. Visually, it was really nice.
That's because it was a 360 game, right?
It was like, a 360 game. Mm-hmm. At the same time, one of the reasons people complained about it was because they had random encounters and that the game dynamics were just stale and dull.
Yeah.
You know, the game did really well in the United States, and I don't want to belittle it. I haven't even played it myself.
Yeah.
However, when we're looking at reasons why the games aren't doing so well,
people were complaining about the specific things that define JRPGs.
Right. Yeah. We were talking the other day about how certain games that have come out these days make games that don't do those things seem inexcusable and pathetic.
Yeah.
And Western RPGs have really taken a hold and fulfill a lot of the reasons why I like JRPGs in the first place. So then to go to JRPGs that do not implement certain game design choices, it becomes very frustrating, you know?
What do you think about the idea that, like, you know, the American progressive era of the 50s and 60s, that it's a historical aberration, that it's not that the status quo is not having these grand epic JRPGs. The status quo is having them be more of a niche thing. And we're now returning to the status quo, which is them only appealing to a certain subset of gamers. Like, there was a while there when it was an event that a Final Fantasy game came out. It's always an event when a Final Fantasy game comes out, but it was a cross-genre video game event.
Yeah, I went to a midnight release for, not 10, maybe 9 or something.
But I don't really remember that stuff happening even with far superior games like Chrono Trigger or something. I mean, like, what do you think about the fact that maybe they're not declining from where they started before the 90s. They're just kind of settling back down to where they were around the 16-bit era or something like that.
Like, it's just an ebb and flow of
Yeah, and design. like it was because JRPGs happened to be some of the first games that really wowed us with full motion video on the console. Like, remember when we first saw Final Fantasy VII and how amazing that was? I feel like we then associated JRPGs with that kind of experience for a few years. Like, that's why we held it in such fond regard. Like, it was an aberration that they got so popular. They got some widespread appeal there. Now, what do you think? Could we be just settling back in to the niche area that they used to be in?
Yeah, I buy that argument. I think one of the reasons, again, is that if we want an epic story, we don't have to go to JRPGs for it anymore. And so what really separates it from the rest of the flock are its game mechanics. And that's something that's not going to appeal to everyone. And so we start seeing...
And here we are.
And here we are, exactly.
One thing that I was really interested that he didn't mention in the article, and I thought was a pretty big oversight, Pokemon.
Yeah.
Why isn't there any Pokemon in this article? Pokemon is hugely popular, and it couldn't be more JRPG-ish.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally one Pokemon does an attack, the next Pokemon does an attack. If you win, you get to collect crap. Like, I mean, like, that is what all those traditional JRPGs are about. And I mean, Pokemon, it shows no signs of slowing down, right? They make two games a year, basically.
That's true. It is isolated to the DS these days, but...
When has Pokemon not been isolated to the DS?
That's true, yeah.
I mean, it just seems like a really robust franchise that carries this crazily outdated system. I mean, maybe not outdated to everyone, but compared to its contemporaries... I mean, this could be ripped out of the early 90s, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I don't think that the design elements that we conceive of as JRPG-esque mm-hmm. are dying at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Pokemon is very much proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also the elements that we keep in Western RPGs that uh-huh. are proof of that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but does that say that the Western RPGs, and maybe even non-RPG games, have just then taken... the good parts of JRPGs, like inventory or
loot, fat loots.
Yeah, fat loots. I mean, like, I just don't... It's odd to kind of mourn the death of JRPGs, but I think that they're just kind of living in a different way now than we were used to in the heyday.
In a dying way.
Well, I don't know. I just don't really see that the... I just don't really see that they'll ever... I mean, especially with the DS, like, you have the Mario and Luigi stories... like Bowser's Inside Stories and the two others that they made. They made three Paper Mario games that were very RPG-esque. It feels like they're living on just not in the blockbuster way that we got accustomed to for a while.
Yeah, in the niche.
Yeah.
Well, I think how Jeff ends his article is interesting, and I'm just going to read the quote. He says, "The RPG will slip away from the world of dreams and longing. The fantasy will be gone."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even if we're living in a different niche, Jeff still believes that we're missing something by not having it be... the blockbuster, as you call it, genre.
And
the way that he mentioned dreaming, longing, and fantasy, I think, seems to be referring to the fantastical elements of RPGs, the linear story of a operatic, stature.
Well, which is why when I was still playing JRPGs, it was one of the biggest reasons why I would play it, just to see that kind of stuff. I mean, Chrono Trigger is one of my favorite games, period, let alone one of my favorite JRPGs. I think Final Fantasy VI is probably the best Final Fantasy out there. It did stuff that games still are afraid to do today. Like destroying an entire world and setting up a new world within the same game. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are two of my favorites. And for that reason specifically, like, it is a fantasy and it's about experiencing a specific kind of story.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be concerned about from the geographical sense. If Japanese developers... are finding a harder time making these games and making them viable on the market, then we are going to see some of the story elements fade away, be it the anime style or, you know, some of the, even the angst, you know, maybe there's some value to that.
And if it gets appropriated? Like, I feel like Bayonetta is very like JRPG-ish in its design, you know, like with its craziness and the weird over-designed dragons and enemies
Stuff. It's bizarre and it's flashy, but I don't think you're ever supposed to feel for Bayonetta the way you're supposed to feel for Tidus or Cloud or Squall.
Yeah, that might be true.
It also lacks the party element, you know, the feeling that by the end of the game you've built a family of adventurers.
Bayonetta, it's always a party, George.
that's true. absolutely true. But I think you can see the loss. I mean, look at Fallout 3, right?
Yeah.
You're one individual, and most of the party members that you encounter either won't join you or aren't that likable.
Yeah.
You know, Dragon Age Origins,
you
have a large party, but half of them tend to be very different from...
It's not like a singular mission.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in a Final Fantasy game is there to take down the big bad guy, because in each of their own lives, the big bad guy has affected them in some way, and now they all join together.
And sometimes they know each other. You know, sometimes it's a good past friend, or it's even a brother or a sister.
Yeah.
And Western RPGs tend to be very individualistic, and you put a random ragtag bunch of players together and see what happens. And it loses some of that, the magic, the rainbow unicorns of, of JRPGs are gone.
You know? Do you think you're going to play Final Fantasy 13
when
it comes out?
Yeah? Absolutely.
Hmm. Should I play Final Fantasy 13 when it comes out?
I think you should wait to see what I say about Final Fantasy 13. I
want to play it. You know, like, I feel like on an emotional level, I'm sympathetic towards it. Like, I want to play it. I want to like it because I have that history of really liking the 16-bit era. And even like, you know, the way that Jeff mentions, like, its sentimentality, like, they are sentimental, and it makes me long for another experience like Earthbound or something like that. And you don't really see a lot of those themes in other games, so I want to like Final Fantasy. I just don't know if the presentation of it will let me. It's one of those things where the presentation actually scares me away rather than the game itself. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm nostalgic too, and I think that's one of the major reasons I want to play the game. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the mechanics of a turn-based scenario are so different from what I'm used to playing that I think it might be a breath of fresh air, you know? Like, hey, look, mechanics that I haven't visited in a very long time.
Quickly, before we wrap up, do you think it's a good or bad thing that they keep remaking these old RPGs? Like, every once in a while, I mean, like, the DS has been a prime example. We get all the classic 16-bit RPGs, and they remake them and put them out again. Or, like, the Virtual Console, all that kind of stuff.
I think that it's a good idea to make them accessible.
Yeah.
I do not think it's a good idea to remake them. Don't touch them up. Don't put any time in it other than just porting it.
Interesting. But so you don't think that because they keep making them available, they rest on their laurels instead of trying to innovate and make new titles?
No, I think the majority of people who play... I mean, maybe not the majority of people who play old RPGs, but gamers like new stuff. They're not going to go play a really old 16-bit era RPG just because it's available
and cheap. Especially if they don't... if they had never played it before. Maybe all those purchases are nostalgia purposes, purchases rather than a...
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, like, I would purchase those games, except that I just can't devote that much time to them anymore. Yeah. Like, I really can't.
Yeah, yeah. I say that, but now I'm playing Dragon Age Origins, and I'll probably play it again once I'm done.
Well, it's new. It's not like I feel guilty because I'm putting, another 50 hours into a game that I've already put 200 hours because I played it 3 times or 4 times
when before. You were, like, 9.
Exactly, yeah, so I can't. Anyway, okay, well, I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens. I'll be interested to see what happens with Final Fantasy 13 because, you know, I feel like this might be a pivotal time for it. So if you folks want to write in with your thoughts on the arc of the JRPG, feel free to do so at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
And if you have any of your favorite RPGs you want to mention in the comment section, the site is experiencepoints.blogspot.com, and we encourage you to do so. Also, let us know if there's any RPGs that you feel we didn't learn enough of. I always feel we go back to Chrono Trigger because there's so many important lessons from that game that I have yet to see implemented in even Western RPGs.
Yeah, but there could be other games like that that no one else has discovered. So yeah, I'm like always,
Legend of Dragoon, great game.
Wild Arms. Well, that's a conversation for a whole nother podcast. Aww. So before we launch into it, I'll just say take care.
All right, bye-bye.